If you'll open to the book of John chapter 8, let me just set some foundation here as we do this. Seems like a simple message. Quite boring if you're an honest person. Quite scary if you're not. Some people are ready to hightail it out of here. Some people are already stuck in their chair. Wishing they had done something else this morning. Most of us here, I'm sure, are real Christians and sincere, and we've already dealt with our tongue, haven't we? We've already dealt with the motives of our heart. But if you haven't, it's a good chance to, okay? But I want you to read a couple things here. John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 42. Now, this is Jesus talking to some religious manipulators. And he says, "If God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come from myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? It's because you're not able to listen to my word." Honest people can always listen to his word. Let me say that again. Honest people can always listen to God's word. If you have people that you've talked to about the Lord and they just won't listen, you've read a scripture to them and they just, you know, stick their la, la, la in their ears, they're not honest. Honest people can always listen to the word of God. Amen. Verse 44, you are of your father the devil, Jesus said. You're of your father the devil. You ever told somebody that? You ought to try it sometime. See how well it goes over. I remember a story my cousins told me. Now, they're believers in the Lord. Maybe a little rocky here and there, but a mother and daughter got in an argument one time, and I think the daughter told the mother, "Get thee behind me, Satan." See how well that goes over. But just pay attention to the truth here that Jesus is remarking about. I mean, he's showing something here. He says, "You are of your father the devil," and these are Jews. "And the desires of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in truth because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he's a liar and the father of it. But because I tell the truth, you don't believe me." Now stop there. So here he tells this Jewish group that their father is the devil. Did you know that every unsaved person has the devil as their father? You realize that? That ought to make you want to go after them. Wouldn't you like to save a child that's in an abusive family? Don't you want to save people that are at risk? Well, what about the devil being their father? They don't even know it. He's their father. That ought to make you want to go after some people. Stop ignoring sinners. Stop ignoring some friends. Why don't you at least ask some of your friends if they're saved? So if the devil is the liar, he's the father of lies, and the father, he's the father of all lies. Every time you lie or do things dishonestly, you're submitting to the devil. Amen. How many of you would like to submit to the devil all the time? You can start with your tongue. You can start with the motives of your heart. Honesty is the beginning of pretty much all things. We could say this: truth is the beginning of all things. How can I say that? Well, because Jesus is the truth. He was the beginning of all things. It all starts with truth. Your whole life has to start with truth. Interesting, isn't it? Your whole life has to start with truth. You were once darkness. You were called darkness. Now you got the light and you got saved. You begin that on square one, which is the truth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Compare this father of lies business to Hebrews 6:18 says, "God has given both his promise and his oath." There are two things unchangeable because it's impossible for God to lie. Here the devil is the father of lies. There's no truth in him. On the other end is God, and it's impossible for God to lie. Take account of yourself. Is it impossible for you to lie? Why is it impossible for God to lie? Well, because He chooses every time to do right. And if He were to lie, it would become true. The question, though, in sincerity is, do you feel it's impossible for you to lie? Have you built your character in the Lord so much that lying is very far-fetched for you? We need the goal of it's impossible for me to lie. We're just setting it up here because we're going to go far and fast and furious. Turn to Proverbs 12, you can turn there. Maybe you need to see some of this, and then I'll quote a bunch in a moment. Proverbs 12. Proverbs 12 says, verse 22, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truthfully are His delight. The Lord delights in truth, doesn't He? I noticed when I got saved, I became an honest person, and I could sense the stability in telling the truth. I could sense the stability in being honest, being pure, not lying, just stability. Peace comes when you tell the truth. Peace comes when you tell the truth. You want to have a life of chaos and friction and anxiety? Don't tell the truth. Peace comes when you tell the truth. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16 says, these things the Lord hates. Yep, seven are an abomination to Him. A proud look, a lying tongue. Hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among the brethren. Boy, most of these have to do with lying. Did you know that? Most of the six things the Lord hates, well, let's say seven things the Lord hates. Did you know He hates some stuff? Yeah. Yeah, He hates some people's hairdos, you know. He just hates those hairdos, and He hates those clothes. No, these things the Lord hates. Okay, first one is a proud look. Did you know that pride is a lie? Being proud, being prideful is being wrongly about yourself. Not telling yourself the truth, not being honest with yourself will get you into pride. Thinking you're the best when you're not? Thinking you're better than others when you're not? It's a lie. It's all rooted in lying. A lying tongue, then He just says it. Hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked plans. False witness who speaks lies. And one who sows discord among the brethren. Wow. All right, are you feeling the tension? Are you feeling the challenge to not lie? I mean, think about it. As you turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. In a world where it is so easy to be untruthful, where there's no accountability, you know, where a president can challenge the word is. What is? You said you were. What is? If you don't know what I'm talking about, good. In a world with all of this internet invisible communication, you don't know who's talking to you. You don't know who's out there. They can be so deceitful. All this spam phone number stuff coming through, it's all a lie. And that just it just infuriates me that they're lying every time they do these sales calls that trick you with your area code phone number. That's an abomination to God. I want to go to the other end of that phone line. I want to find the programmer. I want to find these people. In the thousand-year reign, I'm going to get to. I want vengeance now, but I can't have it now. I have to let the Lord take care of that. I want it later, though. Interrupting people's lives. Think of how many minutes and hours and years that have been wasted. Yes. That they've ruined people's hours and lives. Oh! In a world where, with the digital video enhancement, you can't trust anything. I mean, Photoshop stuff, you can't trust anything. I don't know if you really went on that vacation or if they Photoshopped you in. Special effects, where the worldwide community is more important to people, so much so that there's no more village honesty. We don't have to be accountable in our own village anymore. What's more important to us is this whole worldwide thing. I want all these people that don't know me to love me. I don't care about these people. They're just too tiny. This little community is too tiny. I have the whole world at my fingertips to impress. You know, even reality shows on television aren't real. They're manipulated by producers. The film cut can tell the different story. But people get glued into these things just believing a lie. Well, all right. Should I continue? From athletes taking steroids, that's a lie. To students cheating on college placement exams, to lying on applications, little lies, big lies, self-preservation lies. Really, that's all it is sometimes. It's just trying to preserve myself, preserve my humiliation, my embarrassment, my lack of real skill, just cheat a little bit. To all the way to stuff we do in the house, acting like our bad attitude doesn't affect anybody, acting like it's okay, I don't have to apologize for it or change it, it's me. I can have a bad attitude today, I deserve that. I've had a rough week, I deserve to be. Not being able to say you're sorry is a lie. Not being able to admit that you were wrong in the argument is a lie. Honey, I'm sure I was wrong at some point this past month. Just want to get that out in the clear. If you can't admit you lost an argument or that you were wrong or that your opinion wasn't quite right or the facts you gave, just admit it. Listen, and I'm going to talk about this maybe a little bit more, but if you cannot admit a wrong or say you're sorry or be honest in these situations, it will start ruining your conscience. It'll allow darkness in. It'll allow the devil to mess with you. You'll be submitting to the devil all this time. Think about it. Submitting to the devil in these little bitty, tiny, almost insignificant things. Children, or we can say parents, don't let your children build this habit or pattern of lying. Just to protect self, just to escape a little rebuke or correction, just so mom and dad don't feel too bad about how I am. It'll ruin you because it does something to your conscience. Because if you're not being honest with yourself, that's another one. Those things get in your heart, get in your conscience, and it'll ruin your faith. You with me? In a recent survey of almost 9,000 high school students, 92% lied to their parents in the past 12 months. 78% lied to a teacher. 71% cheated on a test. Now, compare those stats to the fact that 71% of all teens say it's very desirable to live with a high degree of integrity. Isn't that where we all are? We want to do right. We know what's right. We do wrong. You're going to have to win this battle. You're going to have to fight this thing. As a Christian, you're going to have to go for 100% honesty. Not 99%, 100% all the time. Honesty. Honesty does not mean you're blabbing every fact that you know. There's a time to withhold.
Amen.
Like if I know that it's a fact that so-and-so said some dirty thing, I don't need to pass that dirty thing around. I know for a fact that some people have some really sincere issues. I don't have to go blab that just because I'm being truthful. No, there's a time to protect people with honesty. Honesty is birthed out of love, not with this uncontrollable desire to tell every fact I know. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about love is honest. And so it's not just how you speak to others, it's how you speak to yourself or think about yourself. So even humility, think about it, humility and modesty is a good thing. But false humility is not a good thing. Now you're lying again. You're not lying to inflate yourself with pride, you're lying to inflate yourself with humbleness. Oh, I'm just trying to be humble. No, you're not. You're being weird. You're being manipulative. That little thing in you, that's wrong. I can tell that that doesn't feel right. See, we're trying to be honest here. We're trying to get pure stuff going in and coming out. Of course, thinking too highly of yourself is a sin. Romans 12, verse 3 says, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you're better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith that God's given to you. An honest heart seeks to please God in all things and offend Him in none. An honest person is open to the Word of God. Proverbs 11:3 says, honesty guides good people. Dishonesty destroys treacherous people. One scripture that I've always kind of banked for myself is in Psalm, I think, 41. It says, David's talking to the Lord. He said, the Lord will uphold me in my integrity. He will uphold me in my integrity. I've told many people this, that if you will just do things right, keep it pure and honest and right, God will back you. Well, I don't know how it's going to work out if I tell this, if I do this. Just do it right. Don't violate your conscience. Be honest. God will make it come to pass. He'll turn it around. He'll fix it. He'll get involved. He'll back you up. He'll protect you. Whatever it takes, He'll uphold you in your integrity. Amen. Teenagers, tell the truth. He'll uphold you. You'll get more respect and honor from your parents if you tell the truth. Even if you were wrong, even if you blew it, even if you made a mistake, just tell the truth. You'll get more honor from God and your parents if you tell the truth. The opposite is to develop some real ruts in your life where you're always lying, always trying to get an edge. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Psalm 7, verse 8 says, judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness and according to my integrity that's in me. Here's a challenge for you. Can you look to the Lord and say, Lord, judge me according to the integrity that's in me. How will that judgment come out? What would be your test score? Everybody just try. Say, just close your eyes. Say, Lord, judge me today according to my integrity. Okay, you can open your eyes now and deal with yourself later. No, like I said, I'm sure most of you are doing all right, but that's a good way to challenge yourself. I do it to myself quite often. Several times a year, I remind myself, integrity, yeah. If He judged me today according to it, am I safe? Completely safe? Am I sure that I'm completely safe? My answer better be yes. Every business deal, every decision, every interaction, every phone call, all those things have to, you shouldn't even have to really think about it when you're living a right life. But then find some of those edges where maybe you do have a hard time. Psalm 25:21 says, let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. Integrity will preserve you, help you live long. And other ways of preserving you. Psalm 26:1, judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity. I've trusted in the Lord, I shall not slide. Psalm 101:7, he that works deceit shall not dwell within my house, God says. He that tells lies shall not tarry in my sight. Telling lies will push you away from the presence of God. He's there. He loves you. You're a child. Lying will push you away from His presence. Proverbs 11:3 says, the integrity of the upright guides them, but the unfaithful are destroyed by their duplicity. Think about all the other things in life that kind of prove and give evidence of some dishonesty. Like not working. If you're a human with capacity to work and you're not working, that's dishonest. You have the ability to do some stuff. You ought to be doing it. If I don't need to because they, you know, the government takes care of me. You need to work. That's dishonest. You're making everybody else pay for you is what you're doing. No, the government's paying. Who do you think pays the government? But if you can't connect that many dots and go back to the root of some things and by principle understand some things, you're not being honest. Some people don't want to think about the truth behind the curtain. That's dishonest. Letting everybody in a church be tithers except you, that'd be dishonest. Letting everybody else support the church that you love or that you're part of, that'd be dishonest, wouldn't it? But people do it all the time, coming up with reasons. Well, but you, my situation, my circumstance, you're not being honest. Everybody's got circumstances, situations. Rationalize things, right? And then letting the devil, the father of lies, convince you. He does this. He'll convince people to not go because if you don't go, you don't have to give anything. They won't even tell you, you won't even have to hear that. It's a lot easier and safer. Just follow the devil. That's not honest, is it? The truth still remains. The truth still is that you know the truth. But the devil will help you get convinced that God had something to do with that. Yep, God agrees. Lord, you know, I can't really do this. And the Lord says, yes, that's right. You can. You shouldn't have to. That's not honest, is it? That's just letting the devil just play around. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Turn there if you would. Oh, wait. We didn't read Ephesians. This is important. Let's read Ephesians. This was really my first scripture that I was going to start with. So here we go. Ephesians chapter 6. Are you ready? Yes. Finally, my brethren, verse 10. 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. So if you're going to be strong, you have to do this. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Amen. What wiles? All sorts of wiles. Amen. Temptation to sin, temptation to lie, etc., etc., etc. Temptation to get sick, temptation to get mean, mad, angry, whatever. The devil is after people to make them suffer. Amen. Depression and oppression and possession. It's all just devil coming after people to ruin their lives. He'll ruin Christians' lives. He'll ruin non-Christians' lives. He just hates people. Why does he hate people so much? Because we're made in the image of God and he's not. Because we get God's favor and he doesn't. And you go on and on and on why he hates people. But he hates people. He hates non-Christians. He hates Christians. He hates everybody. People think if I become a Christian, the devil will hate me. He already hates you. But you've got to have armor to stand against his schemes, his wiles, his strategies. You got to have the armor. Now, I'm going to get to the armor in just a second. But you need to understand that armor is not here so that we can, like, symbolize it. Like, I have my little armor suit at the house I put on every morning. I mean, that might be fun to help you remember for a while, but that's not what does it. It's not by saying, I put on my armor today. No, it's by knowing the truth behind that armor. It's by really having revelation of all this stuff within you because of Christ, so that you can stand. We'll get to that in a second. For we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. What does that mean? That means that there's evil forces out there that we can't see that are after us, that are causing issues in our lives, our minds, Darkness is trying to suffocate people. And even if you're in the light, little lie here, a little darkness there, a little evil thing here, it'll start trying to rob you. Make sense? Now, compare this to the fact that God will uphold you in your integrity. You want to stay strong? Be honest. The very first piece of armor has to do with honesty. Verse 13, therefore take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. The very first piece of the armor has to do with truth. It's the girdle. It's the belt of truth. On the belt, they say, is where all the other armor attaches. The breastplate of righteousness attaches to the belt. The shield attaches to the belt. The sword attaches to the belt. Belt comes first.
Yes.
If you want your pants to stay up. Belt of truth. All of us have to get to a place of pure honesty, absolute truth, no manipulation, no dishonesty, no little white lies, no big black lies, no terrible lies, no pure truth. This has to do with everything about you. Not just things you say to people, but everything about you has to do with truth. This is where if you have some religious upbringing in your childhood, you have to be sure that it is anchored to the truth.
Amen.
Just because it's in your childhood doesn't make it true. Just because mom and dad did it well and they raised me so well and I love them and they were this and so I'm a this. Oh no. Oh no. You're going to have to take off everything and put that belt on first to make sure everything's in truth. Your religion can't be decided by tradition. It must be decided by the Word of God.
Amen.
And if tradition's involved, that's fine, but it must be Word of God tradition, not just family tradition. But how many people would rather feel good about themselves because they're carrying on mama's tradition than actually go to the Word of God and get with Jesus? It's very important. So sometimes people that don't have any family history in religion have an easier time understanding the true gospel because they don't have to erase all the wrong things. It's always easier to build a house from scratch than to refurbish a house. Isn't it? Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and I'm not going to read the rest. I just want to start with truth. There's a word in the world called relativism. Have you heard that before?
Yeah.
Relativism, meaning that all truth is relative. Depending on the situation or depending on the culture, or depending on the person, what you think is true may not be what I think is true. Therefore, there's two truths. Everything is relative based on my perspective, my upbringing, my view of things, and relativism is killing the world. Saying that there's no absolute truth. I mean, there's a certain liberal, I don't know if he's saved anymore or not, but there's a guy who's a philosopher that I grew up with, and we talk and discuss things about every 2 or 3 or 4 years. And he's always saying the same thing. Everything I say, he says, well, that's just because that's the way you grew up. It's like, no, that's not. Well, you just see it that way because you believe the Bible and other people believe other books. Let me just read you a couple things. Relativism's main claim is that the truth of a statement depends on the views of the persons or cultures, not on whether statements correspond to objective reality. For a statement to be true simply means that a person or culture believes it to be true. So we can't judge other cultures. One person says Jesus is Lord and the other says Allah is Lord. Well, to you, one's true. To them, what about them? They think their religion's true. Well, there's only one truth. So the view tends to advance tolerance and civility, but it does so at the expense of logic. Isn't that right? Doesn't that kind of fit a lot of things? I mean, isn't it absurd to the truth, to logic? Isn't it absurd that we would actually consider giving humans the ability to choose what gender they are? Isn't that absurd? That now applications and forms now have three categories, male, female, and whatever you choose? That's absurd and embarrassing to any humanity, really, but any logic or objectivity or reality. It's absurd. To any rational mind, it's absurd. What that means is the only way this can continue to perpetrate itself is because the devil is behind it, because darkness is behind it. And so I encourage parents who have kids or teenagers, they're hearing this stuff from the world and they're trying to form their belief system. You have to explain wisely to your children, because what children see is, but this person is so loving and kind and I love them. They're nice people. They're people. We care about them. They should have a right to what? To choose. No, no. Explain to your child that we certainly love people, but there are some absolutes in life. And there's no mixed up gender. There may be feelings that are mixed up, but there's a truth and there's a false. And there's more ways to say some things, but you'll have to find a way to be wise with your kids and explain how this whole world is, and we love them, and we care about them, but that they're wrong. Amen. 1 Timothy 1 says, cling to your faith in Christ and keep your conscience clear. For some people have deliberately violated their consciences, and as a result, their faith has been shipwrecked. What, do you want to know where that is? 1 Timothy 1, verse 19. Faith has been shipwrecked when people don't honor the truth. Okay? Turn to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, verse 15. Now this is the parable of the sower, which we've read from Matthew recently. The parable of the sower. The sower went out to sow, and he planted seed in different places. Some seed went on good ground, some seed didn't. Maybe I should read a little bit here. Verse 11, Luke 8, 11. Now the parable of the seed is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are those who hear, and the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no foot, but believe for a while, and in time of temptation, no root. Who believe for a while, and in time of temptation, fall away. Now, the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of life and bring no fruit. But the ones that fell on good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble or honest and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. The word noble is the word for honest, good, several meanings. It means to have some integrity about the thing. Those with an honest and good heart is where the seed grows. So the kingdom of God, which we've been preaching on, and all this wonderful truth and all these miracles and all this stuff about God, goes into our heart, and it will produce harvest. Whether it's harvest for success in life or other, it depends on your heart being good and honest. You with me? So I'm sure we're having a great harvest this morning because you got honest and good hearts in here. I would expect that everybody's already made adjustments in your own life, right? I expect that today after church that people will make some adjustments. I expect this week at home that you'll be able to say you're sorry. That you'll be able to tell your kids you're sorry when you've not done it right. And that kids, you'll be able to tell your parents you're sorry. That I'm sorry is going to be a popular word in our families. Why do I say that? Because if you can't say I'm sorry, you're not being honest. That means you never mess up. You never, everybody else messes up. You don't mess up. Oh, it's a good message today, isn't it? Yes. Come come, a lot of things hinge on this. How, if you can't trust your words, if you can't trust the words you say, how are you going to trust God's word? And we talk about the power of our tongue. If we can't trust what we say in day-to-day relationships and life, how can we trust when we quote a scripture? How can we pray for somebody, or how can we call on God and expect anything if we don't really have any weight on our words? Really, there's this subtle thing that if we can't trust our own words, it's hard to trust God's word. It's like, because people that say, people don't mean what they say, people don't honor their word anymore. And so it makes it difficult to honor God's word. Not for us, right?
Thank you for joining us for the preaching of God's word. We trust that your faith and your love for God is stronger than ever before. More information about Stevenson Ministries and Houston Faith Church is available online at houstonfaith.tv. Chaz and Joni Stevenson are the pastors of a dynamic, growing church in Houston, Texas, and have a New Testament vision of preaching the uncompromised Word of God with the power of the Holy Spirit, helping people get saved and building strong Christians who can impact their world. Houston Faith Church is a place where the love of God is real, where lives are changed, and where followers of Jesus become fishers of men.